Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Gray clouds never always cover the sky, and the billows never quit rolling, and it would just rain all the time. If the moon decide not to shine at night, and the stars never give a twilight. Lord, you gave me one more sunny day. If the wind never quits blowing, oh, and the gray clouds always cover the sky. If the billows never quit rolling, and it would rain all the time. If the moon decide not to shine at night, and the stars never give a twilight. Lord, you gave me one more sunny day. You gave me
one more sunny day.
You spoke to the clouds.
And
they all passed away.
You spoke to the wind. And the four winds stood still.
You spoke to the pillow. One more. Lord, you gave me one more sunny day.
You spoke to the clouds, and they all passed away.
The wind, and the four winds stood still.
me tell you, don't take it lightly. Don't take for granted. Especially in times like these, what one more day means. Amen. Come on, do I have any witnesses? Thank you, Lord, for one more sunny day. Now, choir, unless you have another one, then let our choir will come down. Let's give them another hand, amen, as they have blessed the Lord in this place. We thank him for one more sunny day. Thank you, God. Jesus, keep me near thy cross. There's a precious fountain.
Flows from care, praise my mountain.
In the cross,
near that cross,
I wanna stay near.
Near that cross, be my glory. Until my restless soul shall find our rest beyond the river.
Father, we thank you for this time of worship that we've shared with you. We thank you, God, for this preaching moment, and we pray, God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, a word, God, that will bring about change in our hearts and change in our minds. We thank you for the transforming power of your word, and Father, for this we give you thanks, and for this we give you praise in Jesus' name. And now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all be seated. I think I just gave the benediction. I told my ministers in the back I need much prayer today. Amen. My whole mind is discombobulated, but God is still faithful, and we still thank him, and we give him praise. All right. Y'all have already taken your seats. That's fine. Turn with us to the book of Obadiah. Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 17. How y'all let me give a benediction? Amen. There were some distractions going on, and amen. But we trust that everything is okay. Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 17, it reads, "But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance." Let me read that one more time. "But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance." And I want to talk for just a few moments from this subject, a word of promise for the faithful. A word of promise for the faithful. Thank you, ushers. Now, we know nothing about this prophet who writes this book. Neither are we certain of the exact date for the writing. But what we are sure about is this. The prophecy focuses on two things: judgment against Edom and salvation for Judah. Now, given the historical events along any timeline that you choose, one might ask, why was God's judgment so hot against Edom as opposed to those nations more directly responsible for Judah's troubles? But central to our understanding of this word from God this morning is learning about the relationship between Edom and Judah. Obadiah frames this relationship, he frames this as a struggle between two nations, which is true. But when you go beyond the surface, there's more to this struggle. When you trace the relationship between Judah and Edom back to its roots, you'll discover that this is a family crisis. This is a struggle between brothers that escalated into a struggle between nations. The strife between Judah and Edom had its beginning in the womb of Rebekah, the wife of Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah had been trying to have children for some time without success. And so Isaac prayed to the Lord on Rebekah's behalf and asked that God permit her to bear children. And God granted Isaac's request. Rebekah became pregnant, watch this, with not one child, but two. Come on, somebody say prayer changes things. But as the two children grew within her, Rebekah experienced, the Bible says, unusual discomfort. And it concerned her, because she thought that something might be wrong. So she went to God for understanding as to what her discomfort meant. And God told her, Rebekah, there are two nations in your womb. Two manner of people will be birthed by you. One will be stronger than the other, and in fact, the older child will serve the younger child. These children, my brothers and sisters, hardly knew a time when they did not struggle. They were born struggling with each other. The Bible says that when the first one came out of his mother's womb, the second one was grabbing at his heel. The oldest son was named Esau, and the youngest son was called Jacob. They struggled not only at birth, but they struggled in their youth. Though they were twins, they were different from each other. There were physical differences. The Bible says that Esau was a rugged individual, but Jacob had a fairer appearance. That not only that, they had different interests. Esau was a hunter and an outdoorsman, but Jacob preferred the comforts of his tent. But the biggest difference between Jacob and Esau was that Esau didn't appreciate what he had, and Jacob specialized in taking advantage of people who didn't know how to appreciate what they had. Because of his lack of appreciation, the Bible says that Esau gave up his birthright to his brother for a plate of food. Church, let me pause here and tell you that it's always bad when we can't appreciate what we have. I tell you, it's sad when we place so little value on what we have that we're willing to give it up for short-term pleasure. You know, some of us forfeit our integrity. Some forfeit their morals, forfeit our spirituality, chasing behind short-term pleasure. And the sad thing is that most of us who do that are just like Esau. We don't realize what we've lost until it's gone. And though we may long for it, though we may cry over it, once it's gone, it's not coming back. Esau and Jacob struggled throughout their lives. The struggle got so bad that Jacob, the Bible says, had to run for his life, Brother Thompson. And what we find when we read Obadiah is that the struggle that began with Jacob and Esau continued through to their descendants, Judah and Edom. Why, the Bible record declares that Jacob and Esau had made peace at a place called Peniel. When they parted from each other, Jacob still didn't trust Esau, and their children kept up the conflict that their parents had started. In the years that followed, Esau's offspring became the nation of Edom. And Edom, my brothers and sisters, was particularly hostile toward Jacob's offspring, Judah. The writer of Numbers tells us that when Moses and the children of Israel tried to pass through Edom on their way to Canaan, Edom refused them safe passage and forced them to go around. 1 Samuel 22 tells how Edom helped to stir up and keep up confusion between Saul and David. 2 Samuel chapter 8 tells us how Edom sided with the Philistines against Israel and tried to destroy her. From one generation to the next, the children of Esau did what they could to hurt the children of Jacob. But in every situation, let me hear somebody say, in every situation. In every situation, God blessed the children of Jacob and caused them to overcome. In every situation, God proved to be the difference maker. Church, can I tell you something? This morning, God is still the difference maker. Esau was bigger and stronger than Jacob, but Jacob prevailed because God was with Jacob. Esau relied on his strength and his abilities, but Jacob learned to rely on the power of Almighty God. Jacob, the Bible lets us know, Jacob had a lot of faults. God's man had a lot of faults. Jacob had a lot of weaknesses. There was a lot that Jacob did that wasn't right. But Jacob knew that something was missing in his life, and so when something good came into his life, he refused to let it go. I know I'm right, because the Bible says he got into a fight with God, and he said, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Is there anybody here who knows that God is still the difference maker? And I've come by on this Sunday to tell you that it's good to know what to hold on to in life. Too many of us are holding on to the wrong things and letting go of the thing we need the most. We're holding on to popularity and fame. We're holding on to financial prosperity. We're holding on to this world's power and influence, but we don't need power and influence. What we need is the Lord. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You can let go of a lot of stuff in your life, but whatever you do, come on, help me preach this. Tell your neighbor, whatever you do, don't let go of God. The struggle between Jacob and Esau became the struggle between Judah and Edom. And in this prophecy, Obadiah tells us what the end of this struggle is going to be. And in so doing, he gives a word of encouragement for those who are holding on to God's hand. In this prophecy, the end of Edom symbolizes the end of a life lived without God as its foundation. Obadiah says to them, though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down. You think that you're wise, but I will make your wisdom into foolishness. You think that you're strong, but I will break you and bring you crashing to the ground. I don't know how you feel about it this morning, but I get great joy knowing that if God is for you. I said, I don't know how y'all feel about it this morning, but I get great joy in knowing that if God is for you, he's more than the world against you. Somebody ought to give him praise. Obadiah gives us a sobering, prophetic word of what happens to those who leave God out of their lives. And it's an important message for those who have not made Jesus Christ their Lord. But I'm glad that that's not all of what Obadiah says to us. When he turns from Edom to Judah, when he turns from Esau to Jacob, he reminds us that there is a word of promise for the faithful. Oh, thank you, God. Hey, thank you, God. There's a word of promise for the faithful. Somebody missed it. There's a word of promise for the faith. Y'all, I repeated that because I just feel like that when you hear that, amen, the first question that ought to come to your mind is, am I faithful? There's a word of promise for the faithful. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Obadiah gives us a sobering word of what happens to those who leave God out of their lives. Now, even though Jacob is having a hard time right now, if you will just hold on through your trouble, I declare that I have a word of promise for the faithful. On Mount Zion, listen to what he says, there will be deliverance. On Mount Zion, there will be holiness. And the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. Yeah, yeah, that ought to excite you, because let me tell you something. Whenever God uses these kind of verbs, whenever God says will or shall, is there anybody here who knows you can count on the shellness of God? If God say he's going to do something, come on, where are my faith walkers? Where are my folk who know beyond a shadow? If God said it, you can count on it. It shall come to pass. Well, let me bring it home. What is this word saying to us today? When you look at Obadiah's prophecy through an eye of faith, you see that this promise wasn't just for those of the house of Jacob, but it's for everybody who loves the Lord and is struggling through this world. Just as Edom symbolizes the meanness of the world, and Obadiah assures me that in his own time and in his own way, God will deal with evil and it shall be no more. Amen. Jacob symbolizes a righteous remnant. Jacob symbolizes God's church pressing on in spite of what comes against it. Jacob symbolizes folk coming back into the place of worship in spite of the pandemic. Amen. Jacob symbolizes that God has the answer for whatever problem comes up in our lives. And I know that the promise God gave to Judah is good for you and me today. Our way may be dark sometimes. Our load may be heavy. But there is a word of promise for the faithful. There will be deliverance. There will be holiness. And there will be an inheritance. Well, first of all, God promises that the faithful will be delivered. Now, you Bible readers know that the word deliverance is synonymous with the word saved or salvation. Amen. So what God is telling them, he's telling them they will be saved. So God's promise of deliverance is actually an assurance of salvation for the faithful. No matter how heavy my burden, if I take it to God, he'll deliver me. No matter how great the temptation, if I take it to God, he will deliver me. The psalmist offers this reassurance to the faithful. He says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the tabernacle of the Almighty. Surely he shall deliver you from the trap of the hunter and from persistent evildoers. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing we will find trust. We will not be afraid of the terror of the dark, nor of the arrows that are fired as at through the day. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but you will be safe. Is there anybody, like we were at a good baseball game, you know, amen, that you're going to make it to that home plate. You know that the umpire is going to say safe because God is on your side. Is there anybody here who can praise God for deliverance? Deliverance. Just yesterday, this weekend, I've been having a fight at my house with a possum. A possum has been disturbing my sleep under my house. He scratches and all this stuff, and so I called the wildlife and fisheries, and the closest person they have to deal with it is in Oakdale. And so I went to Lowe's Friday and bought me a trap. I said, I'm going to get my own trap. You know, I used to call for to come. I bought my own trap, and I put it there in my backyard and put a can of sardines under it, and I put some bacon in it and some tuna fish. He's gonna eat good. This is his last meal. He's gonna eat real good. And I've been dealing with this thing for some time. Well, my backyard camera let me know that I had something. And I didn't go outside to look at it, but I could see through the camera. I could see his eyes as they looked into that infrared camera. I said, I got something. I got it. Amen. And I went out there that next morning only to behold a cat, a little gray cat. And y'all, if that cat could talk, that cat looked at me and said, please help me. Please deliver me from this trap. Amen. And I went out there and I opened that cage door, and that cat ran out, jumped over the fence, and sat down and looked back at me as if to say, thank you. And my brothers and sisters, if that cat had enough sense after it had been delivered by Joseph Garner, there ought to be two or three people up in here that can thank God that he delivered you. He delivered you from sickness. He delivered you from lies. He delivered you from scandal. You ought to give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. Oh, but this morning. This morning, I went back to the trap, and there was that possum. That possum was in the trap, amen, and I looked at him like God looked at Edom. Said, now, if you'd been Judah, if you'd been Jacob, I would deliver you. But since you're not on my side, amen, and all I'll say is there was some fireworks going on this morning, and that old possum is no more. Is there anybody who can thank God that he looked beyond your faults, he saw your needs, and he delivered you? Well, not only does God